Hallo. Maike.
Hi.
Hello.
You doing okay?
Yes, ma'am. How about you?
Pretty good.
Right.
I've got 13 minutes after.
Okay.
I was
All
late
right,
this
we'll
morning.
Try and...
I had...
good, good afternoon,
I had...
good evening.
Oh, okay. He made it. Okay.
I made it.
Yep.
I'm sorry for being late.
Well,
lost track of the time.
I was sorry this morning, too, but I had three birthday calls right at the time. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute.
Well, happy birthday anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
So, I believe we're on... let me look again. It's class... class 26B. Which is chapter 23, section 5. And I'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishin tebit kilu erhimu ud kilu ud kilu erhimu. L'yakta l'shem yud he bovav he. V'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kadenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kadeneihu. Chapter 23, section 5. This is class 26B. It's more on the Chibut HaKever. Shmuel, son of Rabbi Chaim Vital, says, I found another very good introduction to Chibut HaKever, the torments of the grave. And this is what it says. We have explained the matter of Chibut HaKever previously. We have also mentioned that, as a result of the sin of Adam, there was a combining of good and evil in all souls, as we explained already with respect to Cain and Abel. This is the secret of the verse, and Adam called names. For just as they have souls from holiness, likewise they have names from souls in the Klipah. This is so because when Adam sinned through the tree of knowledge, he caused souls to be taken from the side of impurity, just as it occurs from the side of holiness. Was there a question?
No, sir.
Okay. My commentary. The partial verse quoted is a good example of how one needs to think out of the box to truly learn from the Torah. This verse is referring to Adam calling out the names of the animals. This calling out the names we are taught by the sages refers to Adam looking at each animal and giving it a name that represents its true internal nature, using the Hebrew letters and language. In this teaching from the Arizal, we learn that the partial verse reveals how that person can learn about his two names, one from the side of holiness and one from the side of the Klipah. I have already explained that in the world of Asiyah, evil overcomes good, since there they are intermingled. However, in the world of Yetzirah, they are equal. And in the world of Bria, good overcomes evil, and they are no longer combined. There are people who have only a nefesh from Malchut of Asiyah, of the klipot. And there are people who have an entire nefesh, ruach, and neshama from the klipot. However, one who does not perform that much evil has clearly not received a neshama from the klipot. He can achieve rectification through teshuvah and by reincarnating into this world and undergoing punishment. When the former is the case, they will be like Jeroboam ben Nevat, and similar of whom it is said, they have no portion in the world that is coming. That is, rather than have their souls elevated above, as Mayim Dukri, male waters, through an upper reunification of Abba and Ima, who are called the world that is coming, they will ascend only on the level of Mayim Dukri through a unification of Zun. Mayim Nukrim is female waters, and the unification of Zun is Zeranpin and Malchut. This explanation settles the question of what about their mitzvot, and don't all souls have a portion in the world that is coming? Rather, they certainly are rewarded for whatever good they did. But certain terrible things they did caused their mitzvot not to be able to elevate them to the highest connection above, that which they should have merited. Mitzvot are drawn from a towering source, way above our world. It is fitting for one who fulfilled them in life to ascend in death to the transcending levels of Abba and Ima. In general, because they are a step beyond, one must give whole self over in order to activate those levels. There are places in prayer that are geared to arouse them. Those places need to be recited, accompanied by a willingness and intention to give one's life over for the divine honor. And this is the note there where it says Sha'ar HaKavanot Kriyat Shema. It's talking about when one says the Shema, one needs to contemplate dying Kiddush Hashem for the sanctification of Hashem's name. I am adding, one of the places in prayer is the Shema Yisrael. One needs to utilize the statement of unity to have the Kavanah that they are willing to die Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name. By meditating on the four types of deaths authorized within the Torah, one will not have to experience any of those deaths in this lifetime. This is according to the Talmud and to the Arizal. Continuing. This does not work for one who was sunk extra deep into physicality. They can only rise to be included in Zun, the parts of being from which our world is drawn. Zeranpin and the Nukva. Everything we do below awakens a reciprocal reaction above. Positive actions awaken unifications above. When a person dies, the sum total of all his mitzvot bond and make a grand awakening above. His soul ascends to be included in this collective unification and derives a great delight from it. However, someone who has nefesh, ruach, and neshama from the klipot must have their bones rot and eat their flesh. This is the secret of Ruth and Orpha. the latter being the one who returned to her people and to her God. This is also the secret of the verse, the fool clasps his hands together and has nothing to eat but his own flesh. They destroy themselves, and in order to separate from this evil soul, they require chibut hakever. The story can be understood as a parable. Ruth, the holy soul, separates from Orpah, the unholy soul. Since he caused himself to become worm food by living a selfish life, it is as if he eats himself, just like the saying, he's eating himself alive. Even in the land of Israel, a minor amount of chibut hakever is necessary. For it, the bad soul is already separate from one born in the land of Israel. Nevertheless, it will depend upon the actions of a person, whether they are good or evil. The intrinsic sanctity of the land of Israel grants the soul a head start in purity. Nonetheless, the status of all is determined according to the abundance of one's actions. If one is jealous regarding spiritual matters, his spiritual station is as the sages have written. A man only becomes jealous over his wife when a spirit of zealotry enters him. Please note the difference in two words, jealous that starts with a J and zealous that starts with a Z. It's important to know those differences. There is no true love without jealousy. A mate feels his partner inside his intrinsic self. From this place, he is jealous. Jealousy of scholars increases wisdom. There is a form of positive jealousy when someone sees a good quality in someone else and wants to also attain it, without being begrudging the other. One feels the good he sees on the outside as being something that is really within, just not manifest. However, if one is jealous regarding worldly matters, that is a function of the outside forces. As a result, his bones will have to rot to be cleansed of their attachment to the klipot. The soul needs to be cleansed of all negative qualities in order to attain its ultimate perfection. However, jealousy comes from an especially deep place within, the essence. For one who is jealous feels that something belonging to someone else is really his. He feels a part of himself in it, and it reaches his essence. The word for bone, etzem, also means essence. The bones are the essential essence of the body. Therefore, only they are left at the end of the death process. From them, the body is to be rebuilt at the time of the resurrection. And in them rests the last lowest piece of the soul that stays below. Improper jealousy defects them, requiring them also to deteriorate in order to cleanse the soul and allow such a person to be eventually to be resurrected and rebuilt. Similarly, the luz, the primary bone for the resurrection, of one who does not bow and say thanks to Hashem, is turned into a snake. Appreciation is also an intrinsic root quality. One who lacks it needs a root cleansing in order to become fit for resurrection. Death and the bones rotting comes because of the dirt of the snake injected into them by the original sin, by the giving of the Torah. This innate impurity increases. The people would have remained immortal had they not sinned again by making the golden calf. Thus, the first thing to do upon awakening from sleep is to thank God. And I am adding, this appreciating Hashem by saying the Modem Ani is a method to set the tone of our day, to constantly strive and recognize appreciation. We find this regarding what is said about Rav Achai ben Yeshaya, based upon the verse, but envious causes rotting of the bones. For jealousy regarding worldly matters causes the bones to rot, and like a garment, as a moth shall devour them. This is the secret of the matter. There are Shia 370 lights on the side of holiness. At times, another 8 encompassing lights are added to them. When they become 378, or Shiach, it totals the words Chashmal, the fiery radiance, and Malbush, clothing. This is because the 378 lights become like clothing and a covering that envelopes the four worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, as a result of which the outside forces have no power over them. The intense radiation of the upper triad shines to the power of hundreds. The lesser, lower seven shine to the power of tens. When they all smile and radiate, 370 brilliance raises the world, providing much love and mercy. At times of extra favor, another 8 white lights shine from the skull of Keter, and this provides a kind of spiritual lightning, Chashmal, that the worlds don as a garment, which provides extra protection. It is well known that 4 garments enclose the worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, and each garment progressively down the ladder is denser than the other. The thickest of all belongs to Asiya, since that, being the lowest area, is the principal place that the Klipot latch onto. And just as there are 370 lights on the side of holiness, so are there also on the side of the Chitzonim, the outside forces. They are called the opposite, Ash. This is the secret of the verse, like a garment, Ash, a moth will devour them. A devouring moth is the one who eats and causes the bones to rot. They come from the opposite side of 370, the grand divine smile, which is a frown. This turns life of life, the body living on posthumously, to death of death. Not only does one die, his remains further deteriorate. My commentary. It will help to understand the idea of the Hebrew words associated with these numbers in the Hebrew letters. Shin Ayin has a gematria of 370. This can be translated as the fire of the eye or the fire of wisdom. In the other direction, Ayin Shin means a moth. When it becomes Shin Ayin Het, or 378, the word transforms into an hour, which is connected to time, which is mercy. Kibbut HaKever relates to fire in the grave, and this is the opposite of wisdom. Hence is there also a concept of Tola'ai, a worm from the side of holiness, in the secret of Tola Ashani, scarlet wool, and in the secret of Fear Not Tola'at, Yaakov, the worm of Yaakov. Its letters from form the name Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi, as in the first verse of the Anabakoah, which has the gematria of Tola'ah. This is the secret of the first row and the Hesed name, that is the sixth letter names of the 42 letter name of Hashem. And it is also hinting to the Kohen, the priest, who is rooted in Chesed, of whom it says, Natan, or Ve-Natan, and give to the Kohen the foreleg and the cheek. The word Ve-Natan also has the same gematria of the name we mentioned, Tola'ah, which is 510. And that of the word shore or ox, of which the Talmud writes, a black ox in the month of Nisan. For the 42 letter name is one of strong gibberot, and the ox is rooted on the left side above, the source of the gibberot, and the face of the ox to the left. Scarlet wool was used for the curtains of the sanctuary, the place where the 370 lights are most manifest. Our father Yaakov never died. He reached a level of perfection that transcended mortality. Consequently, even though his offspring must pass through death, they have a special imprint of holiness in them that protects. Therefore, does the verse ensure the worm of Yaakov of his safety, and that there is no need to harbor worries? This innate imprint of immortality led the children of Israel to be able to reach freedom from death by the giving of the Torah. And even though they lost this plateau, an uplifting impression always remains. The seven sub-names of the 42-letter name parallel the seven Sephirot. Accordingly, the first row is Chesed, the energy that the 370 protecting lights emanate. In souls, the Kohen comes from Chesed. The motion of Chesed is giving. Hence, giving mentioned by the Kohen shares the gematria of the Chesed name, even though it actually refers to the portion that Hashem commands the rest of the people to give to the Kohen. This itself, because the Kohen gives so much, He is rewarded and granted special gifts. My commentary. As we know, the first verse of the Anabekoa, the letters have a gematria of 506. When we add Hakabel, or the desire, the gematria of 137 to 370, we get a total of 507, which is the first verse gematria with the kolel. The lesson here is that to reach chesed, or loving kindness, as a personal attribute, we need to grow our desire to be close to Hashem, since the desire is to be close to Hashem. Why then is the next link in the infamous ox? A creature who embodies the left side of Giborah. In order for the light of chesed, of giving, to be true, it must be contained in a fitting, restricting Giborah, or restraining vessel. Part of expanding in giving involves constricting to preserve giving and keep it in context and in the good. If someone wants mustard on a sandwich, don't deliver a whole barrel to his table. Even though something, let us say steak, is the best food, limit your giving and feed the baby that you love baby food. And so even though the world is made for chesed, it comes garbed in givurah. The world was made with the 42-letter name. Its initial row comes, of course, from chesed, but as a whole, it stems from givurah. This all explains the association train of concepts mentioned in this paragraph. Correspondingly, there is this concept of a worm on the side of the klipot, one that eats the flesh of the dead in the grave, of which it says, the fool holds his hands together and has nothing to eat but his own flesh. And if it's the sin will be tolai'ah, red as crimson, it shall become white as wool. However, one who is righteous in this world can rectify everything during his lifetime, as we saw with respect to Rav Achai bar Yeshaya, who was never jealous over worldly matters, a jealousy that stems from the klipot. Therefore, neither death nor tola'ai, worms, nor ash, a moth, has any effect on him. As King David wrote, even my flesh will dwell in safety. To the extent that you have four people who, even though they died, did so only because of the bite of the snake, but their flesh remained safe, free of the chibut hakever and decapitation. My commentary. As a reminder, the process of the soul leaving the body, as revealed in the last few chapters, is as follows. The person, the neshama, sees the light of the Shekhinah and leaves the body to cleave to that light. The ruach wanders between the grave and the home during the week of Shiva. The nefesh remains with the body until the final decomposition. As long as the nefesh remains with the body, the klipa is being fed energy, and thus it remains. The experience of kibud hakever, or the beating in the grave, is with swords or sticks of fire, which is painful to the soul, and motivates the ruach and neshama to leave the body. We can escape this drastic, painful process by becoming righteous in our lifetime. We can escape this drastic, painful process by studying the Torah and then living the Torah. We can lessen the painful process by choosing to let go of all physicality while living. It's the end of the section. It's also the end of our class. There is a lot to ponder, a lot to learn in this section. And I highly recommend that you meditate on the information within this section and find how it applies to your life, how you can become righteous during this lifetime. Are there any questions?
Many questions.
We have three classes tomorrow morning. One at 7 a.m. West Coast time, which will be a Psalms class. One at 4:30, which will be a deep Zohar class. And the Ari's writings class at 7 p.m. There is probably enough material prepared for this class in the Ari being Mishpatim that we could probably do two classes this week. But I will leave that up to the people who join the classes, whether they want to do two classes of the Ari or one of the Ari and one of the Tikkuni Zohar. Again, are there any questions? Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you. Thank you. It's a good class.
Shalom to all. Have a beautiful evening and a beautiful week.
Thank you.
Alrighty, you too.